So you either really love the heat or hate the heat, all right? How many of you love the heat? Can I just see your hands? Let me just see. Okay, many of you. That's awesome. You're at Centerville. How many of you hate the heat? Let me just see. Okay, not quite as much, but almost 50-50. We'll let you work that out with each other in the parking lot. That's how that works around here at Fairhaven. We're glad to have you. I want you to know that we welcome you to Fairhaven. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. We have many joining us online. Paul is actually in his car. He's driving, and he's following us right now. My friend Jeff is online with us. We have Jermaine in Columbia that's joining us. We have Northmont, our campus to the north, Springboro, our campus to the south, who, by the way, they got their building permit this week, so we can start construction down there. And so, by big applause, would you just help me welcome each other as we are one church in many locations? By applause, thank you. So I'm going to read some portraits here out of the Bible and see if you can tell me who they are, okay? Her life was a wreck. After five failed marriages, she stopped with the formalities. She came to the well when the sun was blazing around noon, and she wanted to draw water, but she didn't want to do it when anybody could see her, so she did it alone, hiding from the comments and the whispers and the condemning looks. Anybody know who that is? The woman at the well, John chapter 4. He was a powerful man. In fact, he was king. He was so powerful that he abused his power to sleep with another man's woman, a wife. He got her pregnant, and out of the fear of exposing his wickedness, he tried to hide it by killing her husband. Anybody know who that is? King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. She suffered from bleeding as a hemophiliac for 12 years. And during that time, she felt unclean, she felt uncomfortable, she felt unloved. She saw Jesus healing others, but didn't have the courage to ask the question out loud, and so she just swiped her hand on the fringe of his robe, and she was healed. Anybody know Luke chapter 8, a story of the bleeding woman? Or, this is probably one you know, he was a murderer. He ran from his shame for 40 years. It wasn't until God got his attention when a bush blew up, and out of that bush, he began to talk to him and pulled him out of secrecy and out of his shame into helping to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. His name, church, is Moses. You'll find that story in Exodus chapter 2. The truth is, I could go through the Bible and I could give you portrait after portrait of people in Scripture who found themselves in shame and hiding in their shame. But the amazing thing that when you read the Bible and you read these stories is that God comes through. That when they deal with their shame and they allow the power of God to break the hold of shame in their life, He does that. He sets them free. Every one of these stories is an example of that in the Bible. And that's our experience as well. Today, if you haven't been with us, we are continuing in a series entitled, I Am Not Okay, where we're giving each other permission to literally say almost out loud, I'm not okay. I'm dealing with some things on the inside, meaning that you might be crushing it on the outside and yet you're collapsing on the inside. Where you may be dealing with something on the inside personally that nobody knows about, and yet on the outside, no one would know. You look great, things seem to be going well for you, and in this series, we're being very, very honest, talking about some of the issues that we all deal with. And I am not so naive as to believe that we can handle any of these subjects in a 30-minute message. Subjects like loneliness that we talked about 2 weeks ago, where I said, look at four people around you, and if you weren't with us, you don't know what I'm talking about, but you can catch up with us. I said, look at four people around you, and three of those four are experiencing deep loneliness in their life, according to the statistics. And then last week, we talked about doubts. We said, doubts creep up in our life all the time. And when you're experiencing something, you know, a situation, a circumstance, questions come to the surface, and what do we do with them? And we addressed that last week. Today, what I want to do with you is talk about shame. I want to talk about crushing shame. Because the reality is, if you look at this series, we're right in the middle of the series, and we're kind of climbing a mountain, and if you will, with some of these personal issues, today, we're at the very peak of the mountain, because shame is the root of many of the things that we're talking about. Shame is the root to loneliness. Shame is the root to doubts, and it's the root of other things that we're going to be talking about in this series. And so we got to get this right. Shame is the root of many of the problems that we face. It might be helpful if I start out with a definition, because when you hear the word shame, which many of us don't even like to use the word, right? I mean, it's a word that I don't like to hear. I mean, it kind of makes me queasy and a little bit ill on the inside. And to think about the fact that I have had some shame in my life, and I'm sure you have as well, when we talk about shame, what do we mean? I don't have this on screen for you, so you can jot this down if you want, but here's a definition of shame that might help us as we begin our conversation today and then look into Scripture to see if there's any answers. Shame is defined as the pain that we feel, which accompanies with humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of knowing that we've made a wrong decision or a foolish decision, or somebody else has in our life. So shame is this conscious humiliation or distress that we feel on the inside. In fact, shame comes from three different categories, because you might be wondering, where does it come from? Let me give you the three categories in which shame comes from. We feel shame because, number one, of things that we have done wrong. And so if you have done something in your life and maybe nobody knows about it, you might be feeling shame in your life, and we're going to try to address that today as we look into the Bible. And so I couldn't be more happy that you're here. That's one way that we feel shame. Secondly, we feel shame because of things we haven't done. Right? Things that we haven't done, things where we haven't behaved properly, or we haven't been the right husband or the right wife, or we haven't been the right, you know, single adult in the life of our friends, or whatever it might be. Things that we haven't done that we know we should be doing are the source of the feeling of shame that we might have in our life. Well, there's a third category, and the third category is this, that we might feel shame because of things done to us. And I've had some things done to me in my life that have created shame in my own personal life. And so these three things will help us to categorize shame as we begin thinking about shame, because shame will cause us to feel unworthy. It causes us to feel unlovely, damaged, broken, hollow, and empty. And that's the truth for all of these portraits that I just gave you here today, right out of the Bible. But I got great news for you. If you miss everything else, don't miss this. As we're here today and we're saying to ourselves, hey, I'm not okay, you might be experiencing some shame in your life, I got great, great, great news for you. You couldn't have come on a better weekend. I'm glad you're here in person, or if you're online with us anywhere around the world. I need to tell you that Jesus has devised a plan and a path out of shame. Isn't that great news, church? And we're going to look at that plan today. First thing we're going to do is we're going to look at a story, and we're going to see the progression of how shame happens in our life. And then we're going to end with how's the pathway out of shame? Jesus has devised a path for us to get out of shame. And today could be your day. Today could be the day where you address that in your life and you walk away from it and you recognize that Jesus wants to set you free from that shame in your own life, where you're willing to say, I am not okay. And we don't want to stay that way. And so we're going to try to address that. I hope you brought a Bible with you today. So let's begin. Let's dive into a story. We have to go all the way back to the very beginning. And so if you have a Bible, turn to your first page. If you have one of those paper versions, just the first page, Genesis chapter 2. Even though on the screen it says Genesis chapter 3, most of the story is in Genesis chapter 3, but I'm going to look at the last verse in Genesis chapter 2, all right? So Genesis chapter 2, and then we'll get to Genesis 3 in a second, but Genesis chapter 2, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of shame, and it starts in Genesis chapter 2 in our Bibles. This is what it says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. You know the story, right? Genesis chapter 1, God created everything. He said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then he created Adam, and then he said, it's not good. I'm going to create a helper for him. And so Eve came along, and in verse 25, it says this, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no, what do your Bibles say, church? They felt no shame. That's critical. Because the beginning of mankind, there was no shame. In other words, God's will for us, for you, for me, is to experience no shame. Because as he created the world, here was Adam and Eve, and there was no shame at all in their lives. But then something changed. Let's take a look. Genesis chapter 3. Turn your page to Genesis chapter 3, your devices. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You know the story. Can you see how the enemy is just twisting the whole thing? Like any tree in the garden? That's not what God said, right? You know that, right? In fact, Eve says that in this conversation. So verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat it, from your eyes you'll be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. Now, I want you to notice here that a couple things are going on here. So she saw the fruit, right? And she was drawn to the fruit. Now, I've been with my wife to the grocery store a couple times. I don't do a lot of the grocery shopping, but she does. You know, so every once in a while, she invites me to go with her. And so I love going with her when I get an opportunity to. And what I've noticed is that when we go to the fruit section, she'll pick up a fruit, and it's kind of weird. I don't know. Help me out here, ladies. She'll pick up a fruit, and sometimes she'll look at it, and she'll sometimes shake it. She'll sometimes even flick it. Like, what's happening? I don't know. So, I mean, you look at a fruit, and so right here, the enemy is tempting her by the way it looks. It's got to look good. And then he says, if you eat it, you'll gain wisdom. That's interesting. And if you take a bite of it and eat it, you will know what God knows. That's really interesting. So what does she do? She ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and guess what he did? He ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. Now, you might want to underline that phrase. Here's what that means. Innocence is gone. Because part of what sin does in our life is it loses our innocence. Innocence is gone. Their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So all of a sudden, they began to realize the situation that they were in, and they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid, you might want to circle that word, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So right here, in the very story, in the beginning of our Bibles, in the beginning of humanity, we go all the way back to that story, and we learn the progression of shame. Here's how the progression of shame happens in all of our lives. We've already seen the first one here, and so you might want to jot this down. Here's how this happens in our life. When shame comes into our life, the progression starts with hiding it. So we hide it. Or we make it into a secret, or we cover it like a fig leaf. We cover it. We try to move it out of the way. We try to push it behind. We don't want anybody to know about it. It's something that we want to keep from other people. See, that's why we look good on the outside, and yet on the inside, we're collapsing with the idea of shame. So the first thing we do is we hide it. In fact, that was the instinct of Adam and Eve. Their very first instinct when they broke God's law was to hide from each other and to hide from God. That was their instinct. And it's no wonder. They were guilty. Before God, they were sinful. They were weak. They were damaged. Do we do the same thing? Yeah, actually, we do. See, we hide as well. Shame causes us to hide in our homes. It causes us to hide in our careers. We hide in our newspapers and magazines and books. We hide in our housework or our yard work or our extra work. We hide behind computers and video games and cell phones. We hide behind our busyness or our procrastination, our lying or half-truths. We hide behind humor sometimes, and we hide by creating facades. That's why I told you several series ago that Facebook is one of the things that creates the most amount of envy in our culture today. Because Facebook can be a facade, right? I mean, we all look great on Facebook. Nobody puts their morning pictures on Facebook. Have you noticed that? Like, nobody puts, like, hey, I just got up this morning, you know, and they put it on Facebook. Nobody does that because we put pictures up, and so we live behind a facade. Do you realize that pride moves us? Listen to this. Pride moves us to do whatever we can to hide our shame, which is no different than Adam and Eve thousands and thousands of years ago. All the things that we try to do to hide our shame is very inadequate. That's why I love this story, because what can you hide with a fig leaf, right? Anybody ever see the show Naked and Afraid on TV? I'm not sure you should even acknowledge that you see it, so don't raise your hand, but there's a show on TV, and I'll be honest with you, I've watched it, but don't worry, there's no nakedness on there. It's called Naked and Afraid, because what they do is they take these two individuals, which is really strange, I just got to be honest with you, two individuals that don't know each other, one male, one female, and they send them to some place in the world, and it's really all about survival, and that's what got me thinking about watching it. I stopped watching it, by the way, because it got a little bit weird. But anyway, so they got these two people, and they put them in a jungle somewhere, and they're supposed to survive for 21 days or sometimes 40 days, and they're naked. Now, you don't see it on TV because it's all blurred out, but these two naked individuals, they get into some spot, and the very first time they meet each other, they have this kind of weird handshake. Of course it's a weird handshake, right? I mean, these two individuals. And then the next thing you'll notice if you watch the show is the next thing they do is they find their camera site, and then they cover up. Of course they do. It's been happening for thousands and thousands of years. Because what we want to do is we want to hide. We want to hide things that are happening in our life. And so hiding is the first progression in shame. You want to know the second one? Let me give it to you. It's found in verse 9. Look at verse 9. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Great question. Where are you? Does anybody here think that God didn't know where Adam was? No, of course not, because we know our theology, and our theology tells us that God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows what you're thinking. He knows how you're feeling. He knows what happened last week. He knows what's going to happen next week. He's omniscient. He knows all things. But he asked this question, where are you? Because it gives us a hint to the next progression of shame. Shame starts with hiding. Here's the second thing. You may want to jot this down. It turns to isolation. When we feel shame, what happens is we want to hide it, but then we want to isolate ourselves. And so we isolate emotionally. We spiritually isolate ourselves. I know people who have done things or not done things or who have had things done to them who walk away from God because of the shame. They isolate themselves spiritually, not realizing that there's a God that loves them so much that is chasing them down because God wants to remove shame. God wants to break the power of shame in our life. That's the stories that you read all through Scripture. And so right here, he asks them the question, where are you? So let me ask you, where are you? You may start with my name. David, where are you? Steve, where are you? Susan, where are you? I could go on and on, right? Where are you, God asks. Now, why does God ask this question, where are you? Here's the answer. Because I believe God wants us to be honest with ourselves. I believe God wants us to say, I am not okay, but I don't want to stay that way. And so what I want to do is I need your help. I need your power in my life. I believe God asks us questions like this because he wants us to be found. Like I said, he chases after us. There is a God that loves you so much and wants you to walk away from the power of shame in your life because he chases after you to chase out shame. But the progression of shame is that you first hide it, and then you have isolation. But then there's a third thing, so let's keep reading on. Verse 10. So Adam answers the question, where are you? Adam answers, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. You may want to underline in your Bibles that Adam said, I was afraid, because that's what shame does. Shame triggers fear. Am I right? It triggers fear in our life. And so all of a sudden we fear that we're not going to be respected. We fear that we're not going to be liked. We fear that we're not going to be lovable. We fear that if people know or if God knows that somehow he'll change his attitude towards us. And God says in verse 11, and he said, well, who told you that you were naked? God asked another question. Fact is, if you read the story, and we're reading it here, you'll see that God asked a ton of questions in the first, you know, story of Adam and Eve. I mean, all these questions. So who told you that you were naked? Now, why would God ask that question? So, I mean, I've been studying this for, you know, a little while. Let me give you the answer. I think because God wants us to understand the difference between shame and guilt. And there's a big difference. See, shame is all about who you are. Guilt is about what you did. Shame paralyzes you. Guilt causes you, if you understand that God brings guilt into our life because he loves us, guilt causes us to want to run to God, to be reconciled with God, and to have healing in our lives. Can you see the difference between shame and guilt? I mean, I could go on. That's a whole sermon on its own. In fact, later on, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which we looked at as a staff this last week, and we just had a ball with it, or I did at least, had a ball with Romans chapter 8. I'll look at it with you in a minute. But there's a big difference. And so I think when God is asking here, who told you that you were naked? I think God was driving at, there's a big difference between shame and guilt in our lives. And so he asked the question. And then they move on to other questions, which leads us to the third progression of shame. All right, are you with me? First of all, we have hiding, because we want to cover it up. Second thing in shame, we have isolation, where we isolate ourselves. And then thirdly, watch this, insecurity. That's what shame does. See, shame causes us to want to hide it. Shame causes us to want to isolate. And then shame causes us to experience insecurity. You know what insecurity is? Insecurity is two things. Insecurity is when you lose who you are, so you lose your identity. And secondly, insecurity is when you lose whose you are. Big difference, right? You lose who you are and you lose whose you are. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a son or a daughter of the King. And I say that to you all the time here at Fairhaven, and I'm going to keep saying it until they stop giving me this mic. Because it's so important for you to know who you belong to, because shame will strip you of your identity, and it strips you of the fact that God loves you, and you feel the sense of insecurity, and you read that in this story. Let's take a look. Look at verse 11, the second half of verse 11. God asks Adam a question. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Question. Adam's answer. The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. So he blames her. That's a whole other sermon right there, right? But then look at verse 13. Now God asks her a question. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is that that you have done? And here's the woman's answer. She answers, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. You know, I've read this story, I don't know, maybe hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, and I hadn't seen this before. God asks Adam a question. He asks Eve a question. Watch this. Then he looks the serpent straight in the eye, and he makes a statement. I love it. This is what he says to the serpent. Look at verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, no questions, just said to the serpent, and let me paraphrase. Number one, you're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your life. Number two, women are going to hate you the rest of their lives. Am I right, ladies? Let's try it here. How many of you ladies would raise your hand and say, I hate snakes? Let me just see your hand. Raise them up high, all the ladies. I got some in the mezzanine. Ladies, anybody over here? Lots of ladies, okay. Guys, how many guys hate snakes? I hate snakes. Yeah, see, those of us that are raising our hand, that's because we blamed it on the women right there. That's the problem right there. And so he says to the snake, you're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your life. Women are going to hate you for the rest of their lives. Watch this. And then he says this, you may have won this battle, but you're going to lose the war. That's awesome. Right here in this story about shame, he speaks to the serpent and says, you may have won this one, but you have not won the whole thing, which gives me indication that God, through Jesus, has devised a path out of shame for us. Because you see, insecurity causes us to play the blame game. It's her fault, it's his fault, it's the devil's fault. And yet, all of us need to be courageous enough to take responsibility. Here's the progression of shame. It starts with hiding, it goes to isolation, and then it goes to insecurity. What's the path out of shame? Let's take a look at it. You might want to jot this down. See, the path out of shame starts by hiding in Jesus. Now, that sounds so theological, and it is. Because you see, if you give your life to God through what Jesus accomplished on the cross, the Bible says that you have hidden your life in Jesus. And when you're experiencing shame, you need to hide in Jesus. How do you do that? Well, it's a simple answer: confession. Confession is the way you and I hide in Jesus. Problem with confession, though, is some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought the definition of shame was that, something I did or something I didn't do or something somebody did to me. So if somebody did something to you, why is it that you need confession? Well, here's the reason. Because in the scriptures, confession has two things. Confession is where you apologize for things that you've done or not done, or you acknowledge something in your life. Confessing sometimes is acknowledging to God, this was done to me and I feel shame. And I want to give it to you because I want the power of shame to be broken in my life. Confession. Apology and acknowledgement. That's how we get hidden in Christ. It's amazing. You know, about a month ago when the whole storm thing happened, massive tornadoes, 15 plus tornadoes that hit our community. My wife and I, we live in an area that was near one of the tornadoes, one of the biggest ones actually, that hit Dayton. And in fact, when the storm came into town, we were at home. And I know there's others whose homes have been destroyed, and I know others that have had neighbors whose homes have been destroyed. So we're very fortunate. We thank God. But we were there that evening. I remember being with my wife. Our boys were somewhere, and so we were at home, and the wind started blowing. So I went outside to see what was going on. Probably not a smart thing to do, but I went outside. The dog came with me, and so we were outside together. Kathy's at the door standing there saying, I don't think you should go outside. But I was outside, and the trees were blowing, and I was thinking that maybe the roof was come out, because we were only miles away from where the tornado touched down. And as I was standing outside, you won't believe it. All of a sudden, it just went calm. Like the wind stopped blowing. It felt like I was in a tunnel. And I didn't know this. Apparently my wife knew it, that typically when that happens, that means that you're either in the eye of it or you're really closed. Did anybody know that except me? I was outside, so I guess I didn't know that. And so I'm standing there, and it goes calm. And I look at the dog, like, for answers. I'm looking down, and I'm like, what do we do, And Kathy's saying, get in the house. And so we ran in the house, and we went downstairs into the basement, and our house wasn't hit. Many others were hit. I don't know why ours wasn't hit and somebody else's. I can't answer that except for the fact that here's what I know, that's the image that I have when I say to you the path out of shame is to hide in Jesus. The Bible speaks of this. David, who's one of the portraits I gave you, remember that in the beginning? He wrote a psalm because of the shame in his life. So let me give you some homework. Read Psalm 32. I'll read portions of it for you here, but you need to read the whole thing, because this is David speaking to God about the fact that he wanted to hide in Jesus, recognizing that shame in the dark grows, but shame brought into the light shrivels. And so here's what he says in Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Notice that? He didn't cover it up. He didn't hide it. I did not cover up my iniquity. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me. You are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. You're the first way, first pathway out of shame. First pathway out is to recognize that we have to hide in Jesus through confession. Here's the second way, if you're writing it down, and that's this, that we need to discover the infinite power of light. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you know that all through the Bible, the metaphor of light is the symbol of God's love, God's power, God's grace, God's mercy, God's unconditional love. And when we take our shame and we take it from hiding in isolation and we bring it into the light, it shrivels, as I said. And so we have to discover the infinite power of light. You see, as we think about light, you need to realize that Peter, I could have given you his story as a portrait of shame. Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous," what, church? Light. Paul, who was a murderer of Christ's followers, became a follower of Jesus, and he writes this, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world." He says in Romans chapter 8, we read this as a staff, so you may want to jot this down and look at this because this is amazing. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is now no condemnation." No condemnation, not a little, not some, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what the word condemnation means? Shame. There is no shame for you. Now, I want you to notice that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says there is now no condemnation. See, the idea of us not living with shame is not something that we just look forward to in heaven. It says it can happen now, that in your life right now, the power of God, that as you hide in him through confession and you allow the infinite power of his light to come into your life, that it can shrivel shame. How does the light of Christ come into our life? Interesting question. I'll give it to you. There are two ways when you look through the Bible that the light of God comes into your life. One is by the Holy Spirit. That when you become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is planted or deposited inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. You walk around every day, and do you realize that if you're hiding shame, there is a war going on inside? Do you realize that if you're in isolation, there's a war going on inside? Do you realize that if you feel insecure, there's a war going on inside? Because the Spirit of God inside you wants to break the power of shame. It doesn't matter if you did something or you didn't do something or something was done to you. Jesus wants to break the power of shame. Isn't that awesome? It's incredible. That's the first way. Here's the second way. People. The Holy Spirit and people. When you're in authentic relationships with other people, that's why we scream all the time here at Fairhaven Church. Without any embarrassment, we tell you all the time. So if you're new, I'll tell you now. We want you in community. We want you in circles. We want you in a small group. We want you gathering during the week because God uses the light of people into other people. And so he'll use people in order to help you to keep accountable so that you don't hide things, so that you don't feel isolated, so that you're not living with insecurity. And so he uses the light, the infinite power of light through the Spirit of God and through other people. Isn't that crazy? That he chooses to do that because that's how much he wants us to break the power of shame. And then thirdly, this is the pathway that Jesus creates for us to get out of shame. Thirdly, we need to remember that God is still making something out of nothing. That's what he does every day. You are one part dirt, one part the breath of God. Think about that. You're one part dirt and one part the breath of God. And ever since you have had breath in your lungs, God is working to do something great in and through your life. Don't let shame get in the way of that. Because all the stories that I told you in the beginning, they could have let shame destroy them, and they didn't. And that's why we see stories of Moses and David and a woman who was healed and a woman who gave her life, and it changed her and the whole city at a well. It's incredible what God can do when you're willing to hide in Jesus, when you're willing to allow the divine power of the light of God in your life, and you're willing to realize that he wants to make something out of nothing in your life. You know, I was reading this week in Zephaniah. By raised hand, how many of you have been in Zephaniah lately? Can I see your hands real quick? Okay, not too many of you. Right? I'm kind of joking here. I mean, Zephaniah is a little book in the Old Testament, and you know, who would spend time there? There's a great verse in Zephaniah. It's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Look at it for yourself. Here's what it says, that God sings songs over you. What? Like, we came to church today, and you know, you stood for a few minutes, and you sang songs to him, which is what we do. We worship him, right? Do you realize that Monday through Saturday, that God sings songs over you? Zephaniah 3:17. That's awesome. Hebrews chapter 12 says that if you fix your eyes on Jesus, he's going to perfect your faith, meaning he's going to use your faith to help you to chase out all these things in your life, loneliness, doubt, shame, all these things, because he loves us that much. Let's take a look at one more verse in this story, because you can't end this story without looking at this verse. Look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Let's look at this verse. It says this, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." Why would he do that? Here's why. Because he knew that they had hid because of shame, that they were in isolation because of their shame, and because of the insecurity of their shame, he wanted to break the power of that in their life. And he clothed them as an example to the world and to us today that Jesus is the pathway out of shame. Today could be your day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Would you just bow your heads with me real quick? And just for a minute before you leave, what would it be like if you just confessed to God today? Either to say, you know, God, I'm sorry. I want to acknowledge this in my life. I apologize, God, in confession. And then will you let the Spirit of God, as you pull it out of darkness into light, will you let the Spirit of God break the power of shame in your life? Will you remember that you are one part dirt, one part breath, and he wants to do something great in your life? God, I just pray that you'd be with all of these people, whether they're online, Northmont, Springboro, right here at Centerville. I pray, God, that as we are struggling with shame, because of the things that we've done, because of the things that we haven't done, and because some things that have been done to us, I pray, God, that by the power of Jesus, that you would break it. We know you want good for us, and we know you want to create good in our lives. Help us to do that. Help us today as we acknowledge you and as we confess to you. I pray, God, that miracles would take place, just like the stories that we talked about of how you healed and how you used a man who ran and hid from you. Thank you, Father. Be with us this week. I pray, Lord, that we would live in the light, that our security and our identity would be found in you, and that what has happened in our lives is in the past, and you have forgiven it. And Father, you are the only one that can forget it. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.